You know your company is great, and you want your potential customers and referral sources to know that too. But it's not easy to put your greatness into words. Why is that? More importantly, how do we overcome it? Stay tuned, and I'll tell you what worked for me.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
So I'm not sure if I've shared this story on the podcast before or not. You know, when my partners and I started our company in 2011, you know, we were in the plumbing industry and we were going to revolutionize the entire industry. We were tired of what kind of had become what we thought were predatory sales practices. I'd had enough working for companies that I didn't think I could refer my own mom to, for example. I mean, I worked for a couple of companies like, there's no way I could refer my mom to this company. Like, our values just didn't align, you know. When we launched our new company in 2011, our entire website was all about how three guys had set out to do business in our industry in a whole new way, a way that was fair and ethical and put the needs of the customer first. And we were absolutely sincere about this. I mean, like, no joke. We really meant it. We really wanted to change things. We were really kind of pissed about how what had happened in our industry. But there was a couple problems. The first problem is the gist of our message sounded like a long-winded way of saying we offer great quality at a fair price. I mean, our first page of our website, you know, looking back on many of the embarrassing things, our colors were orange and black, first of all. So our website was orange, a black background with like orange lettering and white lettering. It was horrible. We didn't know anything about anything. It was horrible. But it was just like a wall of words, like this, you know, like 10-point font, and just this. Nobody was going to read this crap. Now, looking back at it now, like, it's easy to see, like, of course nobody's going to read that. But back then, it was really important to us to get this message out that we were revolutionizing the industry or whatever. So it was really long-winded, but essentially it was a long-winded way of saying we're going to offer great quality at a fair price. And that sounded a whole lot like everyone else. And the way you read our carefully worded, thoughtful message, we had poured an untold number of hours into. I mean, we poured hours into this thing. I can say with 100% sincerity, we meant every single word we had written about wanting to do things in a different way. And we had genuine interest in doing things better for the customer. But that message just never landed. You've heard me talk about how I've wasted more money on marketing that didn't work than any other expense I've ever had as a business owner. And second place is not even close. And I'm factoring in, by the way, the labor of poor hires, the labor expense of people I kept too long, like these things that we know are like really expensive, like keeping a bad employee is really expensive. I'm factoring that in. The money I spent on marketing that didn't work blows that number away. I know that. And this particular failed attempt to explain how we were going to be different was just the beginning of our journey down failed marketing campaign lane. Like, we camped out on that street for a long time. And I'm going to tell you how and why here in a little bit. First, I'm going to tell you to try the new group I've been talking about for the last few weeks, to try it out absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. Any question you have, come check it out. Absolutely free. All you have to do is send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com. with the word group in the subject, do a quick introduction, give me your name, company name, location, how many employees, that kind of just basic stuff, whatever you think is pertinent. Once I get your email, I'll send you back the Zoom link for our next call, and you can start making immediate progress in the areas you'd like a little help. It's going to be a fantastic program. We're just getting started. So check it out, no charge. Again, just send an email, hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. All right, so let's look at why what we did failed. which, by the way, is the same reason the next several attempts failed. But we didn't figure it out until we had rebranded twice. We had one marketing campaign. This is funny. It's funny now. It was not funny then. This is in 2012, 2013. This one thing cost us probably $80,000, which, I mean, it might as well have been $1 billion back then for us. I mean, we didn't have an extra 80 grand laying around for sure. It cost us an obscene amount of money. And that campaign produced more calls from competitors mocking us than it produced in potential clients. And I'm not even kidding about that. So to let you know, like, when I say we blew it, like, we blew it. I don't mean kind of, sort of. I mean, we didn't have this part figured out. And it was expensive and it was painful. So the first mistake we made, right out of the gate, was we had no idea who we were talking to. So this is a saying that's in the marketing world. And having gone through my experience of having a number of failed campaigns, I think this is absolutely 100% true. In your marketing, if you aren't talking to somebody, you aren't talking to anybody. Meaning, if you don't have an idea in your mind who you're talking to and what they care about, like last week we talked a lot about, like, understanding our client, like, what do they really care about? If we don't know that and we're just writing generic things that we think would be broadly applicable, it's not going to resonate with anybody. So that's what it means when we say, if you aren't talking to somebody, you aren't talking to anybody. Because if you're not talking to somebody, nobody's going to pay attention to what you're saying, because you have to speak in such broad terms that's not compelling. And this is one of the hard lessons we learned. Once we figured out who we wanted to serve, and our talking points became about them and them only, and we didn't care if people who were not our ideal client didn't like it, that is when things took off for us. That is how we averaged 38% growth over 10 years. You know, that was one of the light bulb moments for us. Once we stopped trying to make everybody happy and we figured out who we wanted to serve and we started talking to them and them only, it was a game changer. All right. The next problem we had was we had not yet figured out what was special about us. Here's a lesson that we learned. I'm not really heard anybody else put it this way. This is me paraphrasing. Again, I don't think I have any new ideas. Everything I talk about has been talked about for 2,000 years. But I've never really actually heard anybody say the words I'm going to say next here about this. I believe if there's no other compelling reason giving, like actually compelling to the customer, not what we think should be compelling to them, if there's no other compelling reasons given, buying decisions will always come down to price and convenience. I truly believe that. If we don't give them a reason, a criteria to make a decision, of course it's going to be price and convenience. Who can do it cheaper? Who can do it faster? Who can fit me in quicker? You know, all that convenience stuff. So the question we must answer, we talk about, like, how do we define our competitive advantage? The question we must answer is, what hole would be left in our industry and geographic area if our company went away? Now, to answer that question, we can't say things like quality and customer service and great value, because all of our competitors are going to say that. So to the customer, potential customer, if I'm saying the same thing as them and they're saying the same thing as me, it's a wash. And the criteria comes back to what? Price and convenience. So I've got to stop saying the same things that everybody else is saying. None of my competitors are going to say they don't offer great quality, great customer service, and a great value. They're all going to say that. So if they all say that, it's like none of us say it. It's a wash. They cancel each other out. So saying those things is as useful as not saying anything, in my opinion. The hole we leave in our industry, if we went away, is not going to be valuable to everyone. We have to be okay with our compelling thing not being meaningful to people who are not our client. And this is a fundamental thing that once we all get figured out, it's easier to define what's awesome about us if we know who we're talking to and what they care about. And that's why this episode this week is right after the one last week, because these are very closely tied together. But we have to be okay with some people going, "Nah, I don't really care about that." We have to be okay with that. And this is a hard thing for us, is we want everyone to love our baby. This is our baby. And we want everyone to think we have a pretty baby. And we don't want anyone to tell us we have an ugly baby. but we have to be okay with some people being like indifferent to our thing that we think is great because they're not our client. Just like people who buy jeans at Walmart are not likely to also buy jeans at Nordstrom's. It's not, they make different buying decisions. And we all think we want to have the Nordstrom pricing and of course we provide the Nordstrom service. And of course, you know, people should, we go the extra mile. And of course we're like the Nordstrom, but in our messaging, we want to talk like Walmart because we want everyone to love our baby. And this is where the problem happens. A thing that my wife might find valuable or see value or value in a company is very different from what I would prioritize. And both of those are different from what our kids would prioritize or our parents. And yes, we all want quality. We all want perceived fairness. We all want great customer service. We all want great value. But there's other criteria at play, and it's going to be different. I've said this before on this podcast numerous times. It would be almost impossible. I can't really think of a situation where you could have a really compelling message that would resonate with me and my wife. She just makes different buying decisions than I do. There's some things that she is super frugal on. When I say frugal, I mean cheap. And there's those things I would be like, just spend the extra, whatever, $23 or $150 or whatever. And there's other things I'm like, wait, what are you buying that for? Because we have different criteria we use for different things. It would be nearly impossible to have a message would really be compelling for both of us on very many things. I'm sure there's some things. You know, we both like the same kind of cars and, you know, stuff like that. But point is, like, if you're an accounting company, I have a much different depth of knowledge of accounting than my wife does. So the things that I'm going to use as criteria to make a decision are different than her. You can't talk to both of us and expect both of us to be excited about the thing you offer. And we have to be, as providers, okay with people saying, that's not really my thing. But man, is that hard, because we want everyone to think we have a pretty baby. This is really hard. Okay. So we've got to find the hole that would be left in our industry that would be valued by our target client. Now, how did we ultimately learn what really was a compelling thing we could do that differentiated us? Once we figured out who we wanted to serve, we asked them, what do you really care about? And we kept asking and we kept asking and we kept asking. And over the course of a couple of years, we developed a breadth and depth of knowledge of our clients and how they made decisions and what they really cared about and what they expected and what they feared and what they hoped for and the things that we would say that they would go, yeah, everyone says that, you're full of crap, and how we would have to prove it and the criteria they would use to determine if we had proven it. Like, we developed a depth and breadth of knowledge of the clients we were going after that was unmatched, because we were asking the right questions and we kept asking questions. So why doesn't this work for everyone? The number one reason is because business owners and managers sincerely believe their business is exempt from having to figure out who they serve. And their business is exempt from this idea, concept, that people want things more than just the service we provide. They need the service we provide, but that's not what they want. They make buying decisions based on what they want. And if we wanted to find our competitive advantage, we better be speaking to what they want and not what they need. But the number one reason this doesn't work for people is because they sincerely in their gut believe, yeah, that's true for everyone else, Brian, but you don't understand. It's different for me. It's different in my case. And I can tell you personally, I had that understanding of my clients before in that industry, and now I'm going through a whole new learning curve. You hear me throw out all kinds of stuff in this podcast. So like, hey, try this thing and do this thing and try it. You know, here's the thing I'm offering. I'm learning. I don't have that depth of knowledge for my clients as deep as I would like now. And I did have it then. And so consequently, I'm doing more testing. I'm trying new things. And that is the path. We have to do those things until we learn it, right? But where people struggle here is they nod and smile and say, yep, I hear what you're saying. I totally see where that matters for everybody else. But in their gut and their heart, they don't believe it applies to them. So we think or believe things like, well, everyone needs accounting work. Therefore, our ideal client is anyone who needs accounting work done. So here's the test. If our definition of who our ideal client is starts with the words anyone who or anyone with, or plain explanations like I want to work with homeowners, or I want to work with business owners, or, you know, high income households, It's quite unlikely that that will be able to identify anything that's compelling to them because it's broadly applicable, right? We're talking to a broad audience. We can come up with things that are common but not compelling. I'm going to say this again. We're talking to a broad audience. We can come up with things that are common but not compelling. Or we can talk to a narrow audience and talk about things that are compelling but not common. And this is a fundamental thing we have to understand, which is completely counterintuitive. Marketing is one of those things, like many things in business, that if you trust your gut, you're going to go down the absolute wrong path. This is a critical place where that happens. It's quite unlikely we're going to be able to identify anything that's compelling to them and also broadly applicable. It can either be common to a broad audience, but not compelling to anyone, or compelling to a narrow audience, but not common for everyone. We just have to wrap our heads around that. And it just takes time to like let that sink in and let that really, for us really like know in our gut what that means. We get in trouble when we act like we're the exception to this rule. We have to stop trying to convince people to choose our solution and start talking about how we solve their problems. We have to stop trying to convince people to appreciate our thing more and start conveying to them that we get them more. The competitive advantage is in the eye of the beholder. We have to explain to them how we get them and talk about things that we do that only pertain to them, and that's how they think we have a competitive advantage for them. We can't have that in a broadly applicable way. You can't talk to Walmart people and Nordstrom people at the same time. You cannot. People, if you don't speak what they want and the criteria they're using to make decisions, it's not going to land. So I think it's critical if we truly want to articulate how we are different, but to do so without talking about what we do to make money. All right. So when we start talking about how good we are at our service, we're talking about us, which by its very nature is not compelling to them. Right. So without mentioning what we do for money, if we do chiropractic, if we do marketing, we do accounting, we do solar, we do plumbing, whatever, what hole would be left in our industry if we went away where we don't talk about the thing we do to make money? So for example, I wouldn't say the hole that's going to be left in our industry, I'll just say it, solar, okay? I own a solar contracting company. I install solar panels on houses. Somebody asked me, well, what hole would be left in the industry if you went away? Well, we provide the best quality solar installations. Okay, well, again, I'm saying the same thing as 78 other contractors in my space, in my geographic area. So I'm saying the same thing as them. So when the customer hears us all saying the same thing, it's a wash. They cancel each other out. That's just how it works. Where, you know, if I talked about something that's not related to solar, you know, again, I'll pick an easy one that's easy for us all to, like, we all know that this is a thing that people really value, which is communication. You know, we're the most communicative contractor in the Phoenix Valley. Whoa. Well, for people who care about communication, that's a big thing, right? But in order to say that that's what we are, what's special about us, then we have to eliminate all the other things that we think might be important for us to be special about. And that's why this gets hard, is we have to, it forces us to narrow our talking points to specific people and narrow the things that we're going to really excel at. And that's hard. So we don't want to do it. It's counterintuitive, right? We don't have to say, like, I don't have to say I'm going to be the best solar company, because it's probably called like John Solar or ABC Plumbing or, you know, the, you know, Valley Chiropractic or whatever. Like in the name of the company, it probably tells them what we need, what we do to make money. We don't need to explain that. When we explain what hole would be left if we went away, they got that part. They're not looking for solar contractors and then surprised to see, oh, these guys do solar. Like, that's not how it works. They look for solar contractors and they go, holy smokes, these guys, what makes them special is they communicate well. Well, you know what? Last three contractors I've had, they like were horrible at that. And I don't want that experience again. And if it means I got to pay 10% more, I'm going to do that. That is compelling for that person, right? We don't need to convince them that we fix the widget better than Brand X. We'll end up using the same words that Brand X will, like quality and customer service, and we're going to sound exactly the same. And again, when we do that, we cancel each other out. So to truly define our company's competitive advantage, tell us what you offer that your competitors don't. They offer the same service, so don't tell me that, because it cancels each other out. They say they offer great quality and customer service. Don't tell me that, because they cancel each other out. We shouldn't be talking about the things that everyone else is saying. So when I'm talking about my competitive advantage, I can't say the thing we do to make money. I can't talk about the solar. I can't talk about the accounting. I can't talk about the plumbing. I can't talk about the marketing. Like, I have to talk about the other stuff, because if we're all saying the same thing, it comes down to price and convenience. Who's closest? Who, I got a referral from this person, so I kind of sort of know them, I guess, or they're only 3 miles from my house, or this package they put together, even though it could be apples and oranges, is cheaper, so I'm choosing a cheaper option, right? So let's take a chiropractic example. So let's say we have a company in like a downtown metro area, and we say we provide an efficient, expedient process because we're in a downtown setting for the busy professional, so they can easily work this into their daily routine and not really affect their commute time or their home life or whatever, okay? And a completely different chiropractic office, not in that downtown setting, provides a soothing, calming experience for the mother of three. So when she gets a break, it's kind of like a mini spa day. You can't make one of the people, so the one who'd be attracted to the efficient, expedient thing, you can't make them appreciate the calming experience. And the one who'd be drawn to the soothing, calming experience, you can't make them care about the efficient, expedient process. This is where we start to get tripped up. We have to stop selling people here and start just letting them know what we offer that they would want. We have to stop trying to convince them to care about the thing we offer and be okay that our message only lands with people who already care about the thing we offer. And again, this is one of the hardest things we have to do, because you can't have a message that's broadly applicable and compelling. You choose compelling or you choose common. You cannot have both here. Right? Now, does that mean you can't develop a reputation for having a great quality and great value? Of course you can do all that stuff. But you can't explain that in defining your competitive advantage, because everyone's going to say that whether they have it or not. And people aren't going to have the ability to know who's full of crap and who's not. Like, it's going to sound the same, and therefore it's not an advantage anymore. The things that they're saying that are the same, they cancel each other out. So we have to stop saying those things. We have to really start work hard here and stop trying to convince people to care about the thing we have, and start letting people know about the thing we have, and people who care about, they'll be drawn to us. And it's just a little bit different. So we need to focus on what makes us special or better fit for our ideal client. We have to be okay with people who are not our ideal client going, that doesn't really matter to me. It's okay. There's a provider out there for them. That's great. And rather than trying to convince people to care about our thing that they won't care about, we want to let people know what's awesome about us for our ideal client. So our ideal client is going to go, these are the only people I would choose. Right? I hope that helps. Again, this week and last week are very closely intertwined. That's why I did them back to back. I hope this is helpful. This is a hard thing for us to do. It's one of the hardest things we'll do, is getting these two pieces last week and this week that these pieces dialed in. But once you have it, your life is really, really easy in many ways. So don't forget to try my group meetings, absolutely free, where you can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability, anything about your company. Just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject, and I'll reach back out to you once I get your email, and I'll send you the Zoom link for our next call, and you can start making immediate progress in areas where you'd like a little help. And don't forget, if you like the information I share here, please share it with a friend or a colleague who could benefit from it. Of course, public sharing is also appreciated, but hit that little share button and text it to a friend if you think they could benefit from this and help somebody out who's struggling with this kind of stuff. This stuff is hard. So that's it for this week, and I'll see you all next week.